You are listening to www.infinitesmile.org. Enjoy these Zen-inspired talks given by Michael McAllister, followed up by question and answer exchanges with groups of his students.
Our practice is human beings can be greatly enhanced if we ask ourselves the question, what is really going on in this very awareness? What is really going on in this very awareness? If we let that question continually inform what it is that we do, what it is that we are experiencing, what it is that we are falling into at every single moment, then we can become a student of awareness. We're studying it. We're studying awareness. If we're continually asking ourselves, what is really going on in this very awareness, you become a student. You can become a student of Zen, a student of Advaita Vedanta Hinduism. You can become a student of Dzogchen. You can become a student of the Kabbalah. You can become a student of any tradition. And as long as you meet it continually with what is really going on in this very awareness, the activity there that arises is an expansive, unattached wholeness. It's complete. The questioning becomes the completion, not the answer, but the question. The question opens. The answer closes. So one of two things is then going on in this very awareness. Typically, it's closure. Typically, it's gripping. It's grasping. It's attaching. This is the typical orientation of the human experience, one in which there is grasping. The atypical, the awakened potential arises out of the very opposite move, which is opening, which is flowering. So in this very awareness, you either have contraction or expansion. You have one of those two things. That's all. There is either opening or there is closure. There is either release or there is resistance. And this expansiveness, this is the, if you want to call it the awakened or enlightened context, shows itself whenever the contraction becomes conscious. Whenever we witness the contraction, that which is witnessing is the expansion. And we just take a step backwards. We just literally rest in that new expansion. The release is a non-egoic spaciousness. There's no self in that space. It's formless. Can you identify, for instance, this witnessing awareness, this student of awakening? Can you identify the form of that student? Because it's within you. What shape does the witness have? It doesn't have a shape. And when I say the student of awakening, that's the same thing as the witness. It doesn't have a shape. It is formless. All right? It is not form. It is formlessness. It is not bound by ego. It is instead beyond ego. It is trans-ego, trans-egoic. All right? So we have self, we have no self. We have egoic, which is clinging. We have trans-egoic, which is beyond ego, which is expansive, which is released. And in this release, we actually find that the student of awakening can identify the space between our thoughts, the passage of time, the silence between words and notes that are being played by instruments. That no mind, that no abiding mind is awakening. It's an expression of the release. Mind itself, on the other hand, is an expression of contraction. There are two aspects to mind that most of us are familiar with. Okay. Thoughts and feelings. Thoughts and feelings are aspects of mind, and they are born and they die into the infinite. They're born from and die into the infinite. But they are born into time, and therefore they will die. They are not the infinite itself. So thoughts and feelings, which come from mind, are inextricably linked then to time. That's part of the contraction. Part of the expansion, on the other hand, is something that can witness all of that activity, something that can be a student of all of that activity. Oh, that was a memory. Oh, that was a plan. Oh, I'm feeling resistance. Oh, I'm feeling a judgment arise. Better yet, there is a feeling of judgment that is arising. There is a plan that just arose in this very awareness. There is a memory that arose in just this awareness. That's an expansion. That's an awakening. That's a dissolution of the contraction into the clarity of an expansive awareness. So there is a continual movement in the contracted place, in the place that resists, as opposed to the place that releases. The release is absolutely, totally, and forever still. It doesn't move. It never has. It never will. Nothing happened there. Nothing will happen there. It is absolute and total stillness. It was before the Big Bang. The Big Bang is a thing. The Big Bang came from that stillness. The Big Bang is a pretty radical expression of motion. Just like the ego is a radical expression of motion. It's time-bound. It's thoughts, it's feelings, all mixed up all the time. And the ego's job is to manage that chaos. It's to try to sail in that hurricane and pretend that it actually knows what it's doing. Coming about, you know, whatever. It's like it's that something that it really has a grip on what's going on. The way we can actually get out of that, the way we can actually get out of that is to wonder. Can we fill our lives with questioning instead of the answers? Can we actually infuse our experience with the ever-deepening wonder of what's going on as opposed to doubt? Can we be curious? Can we really authentically be curious always? Because curiosity is the release. It's the release of knowing. It's the release of predictability. It's the release of yes and no. It's something that actually goes past yes and no, past right and wrong, and it allows for an ever-deepening wisdom to inform every bit of our activity. It allows compassion to come from that place. As a matter of fact, compassion can't arise from the contracted place. Compassion does not arise from doubt. Doubt is an aspect of mind. Wonder is an aspect of the combination, the integrated, fully free-functioning suturing of the heart and mind and precisely everything that's past it. Everything else is vanity. Everything else is vanity. If we are gripping, if we are contracted, if we are not informed by the release, but are instead informed by the resistance that turns into doubt, all we are ever doing is doing a quick intellectual referencing to templates from our past or fears about some future, both of which are phantasms, both of which are not real, both of which take us out of the awakening and the release, which doesn't occur in the future or the past, but occurs right here, right now. And this reference point that exists everywhere, and its circumference is nowhere. I know I'm borrowing that line from someone. I think it's Empedocles, but I'm not sure. I forget. But that awakening point, that point of expansion, okay, it will never, ever, ever come from an old reference point of comfort. It will never come from an old reference point, an old place, an old skin that you already have worn. Because it's brand new always. Release is brand new always, always, always. It's never old. It's always a gift. It's always a surprise. It's always already right there. Right there. Right there. It's always, always there. It's not closed. It's open. So part of the reason for sometimes an incredible sensitivity and destabilization in our awareness as we start to practice more and more is we run into this situation of feeling positively skinless in the face of an onslaught of horrible stuff. We feel like there is just nothing that can possibly defend us against the ensuing attack. And hopefully the practice is strong enough to allow you not to flinch when the attack comes. If your stillness practice is strong enough to allow you not to flinch when the attack comes, and you can be intimate with every single aspect of the perceived attack, there will be a quick realization that it was never an attack, that the pain that was felt was merely the intensity of experience, that the contracted aspect of you wanted to get away from. That in you which is expansive can withstand positively everything, because that which is expansive can witness the contraction deal with the resistance. This is the radical freedom that all the mystics have been speaking about for so long, regardless of tradition. Can we release, or are we going to consistently live from contraction, from gripping, from attachment? Can we fearlessly walk through this world as skinless human beings, or is our orientation forever going to be in some form of bunker? Will there always be some form of armor that we try to put around us to keep us from the onslaught of life? That'll numb us. Worse than feeling pain, probably, in this experience is feeling numb. Because that is the opposite. That is the opposite of what is really going on in this very awareness. The minute we say, nothing. Or, I don't know. When there's a denial, okay? Or there's an adherence and a gripping going after the sensual aspect of what you perceive as being a pleasurable experience that isn't somehow enhancing your awareness. Either of those moves, either the aversion or the going after, both of those take us out of the release and put us immediately right back into the grip, the contraction. So in the release, allow yourself not to know, ever. Allow yourself not to know. An uncontracted expanse is about not knowing. Don't know. As opposed to the contraction, the sleep that most of us find ourselves in, which is, aha, I know this. I have been here before. The minute that happens, there is not only the birth of an I, but there is also the birth of mind's connection with what it perceives is going on. That attachment is called knowing, small k. The opposite of that, the awakened context, would put us into a knowing that has a large case k, and there is no I anywhere near it. And when there is no I anywhere near it, there is no this nor that, no self nor other, no up, no down, no this, that, or anything else. It is a non-dual wholeness, as opposed to the categorized, the compartmentalized, the filed scripts of dualism. Up, down, right, wrong, black, white, this, that, yes, no. And where does that lead us? Where does that filing system, that categorizing that we typically do in our day-to-day, where does that lead us? It leads us right into the heart of pain. Right into pain. Right into suffering. Non-dual awareness, on the other hand, is the infinite smile. It is emptiness. It is the now. And the infinite smile will always, always nourish spirit. Because it's an uncontracted expression of spirit. Pain, on the other hand, gripping, clinging, knowing, that's always, always going to diminish and defile spirit. The gift is we get to choose.
Say in this last little piece that knowing is suffering?
Knowing?
Yeah.
Okay. If there's an I there, if there's an I, no, absolutely. That's the match.
It's a problem.
It's boggling to what? Right there. Stay there. Relax there. That's it, Tracy. The other stuff isn't. Yes. As long as there's an I there. If I know, that is an attachment.
It's another kind of knowing without us.
It's the kind of knowing that actually goes past time and mind. It's the kind of knowing that comes from the space between thought. It's the kind of knowing that doesn't have anything with it. There's no bargaining. It's totally open. Everything else misses the mark.
Ego wants to cling to what has, what it perceives has value.
Mm-hmm. Like knowing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Does anything intrinsically have value?
To ego?
To ego, it does.
Yeah.
Value is not something that...
It's, value is one of the three aspects of mind.
Okay.
It's a judgment, right?
Yeah.
It's kind of, actually it's neat because it actually pulls together a feeling with a thought. Okay, and the feeling is one of resistance, or one of, it's the feeling is that of grasping, and that grasping either shows itself as greed or aversion. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You see where I'm going with that?
Yeah.
Okay. All things are empty. All things are dependent on something else. Totally interdependent. Okay? All things are bound by time. All things are, I mean, we've gone through this lesson, several times. Things have no inherent nature, yet they do. Okay? And this takes us into, one of the real, real towering quotes I feel in spirituality is from the Lankavatara Sutra that says that things are not like they seem, nor are they otherwise. So, Gene, instead of trying to create an evaluation, we create an intonation with all things. We create a sympathetic chord with all of life with our practice. Our practice actually allows us to rest, and that rest allows for the resonance within us to become even more and more profound. And we can hear it in other people, even though it doesn't make a sound. Sometimes we feel like we can see it. Sometimes, but it's just kind of a sense that we get about somebody who is resonating. And that happens with a stillness practice.
Okay. The things around us, I mean, they're empty.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, for instance, we're borrowing this room, but we wouldn't do something here to try to destroy property.
Of course.
And I'm trying to understand,
well,
if it's empty,
right?
Why? What keeps us from saying that?
Yeah, it's a great question. And I think that non-dual practices, like we were talking about, can really run into that problem. If, okay, there is no intrinsic reality to anything, then anything goes, right? wrong. The practice really is nothing short of an ethical structure, an ethical system. The guiding principles of these non-dual traditions, I mean, I'll speak for Zen because it's the one I'm most familiar with. I mean, we took these precepts. These precepts are guides to keep you on the razor's edge at all times. They keep you walking the tightrope. They give you the balance pole, all right? The precepts give you the balance pole while you're endeavoring to cross this great chasm, okay? And all of those precepts point us very directly. They point us in one direction. That balance pole that we carry along the tightrope of living tells us repeatedly, do not harm. All the precepts, bring them down. Bring them down, just deconstruct them as best you can, and you will get do not harm out of the mix. In other words, we relax into the release, the not knowing. We relax into the not knowing, and what do we bring back with us as a guide? Now bring that back in, and don't harm anything. Exactly. And this is why I think, I forget who I was talking with about this. You know, in the Genjo Koan, it was you, Paul, in the Genjo Koan where it says, a Zen master, you want to tell us again, what is a Zen master?
The Zen master is the one who is a master, who is most aware of his own delusions.
A Zen master is the one who is most aware of his own delusions. Fair enough. Take it a step further. Take it a step further. I'm not going to try to, you know, give Dogen a critique here, but he doesn't go far enough in that line. Because it's not just that you have to be aware of your delusions. It's that you then have to embody that awareness in your activity. Otherwise, you have precisely only gone halfway. You've made half the journey. You go halfway if you only know your limitations, if you know your delusions. Because if you know your delusions, the knowing is what, Tracy? It's an attachment, right? And what does that do? It reifies the separation between self and other. It actually only takes us halfway.
Not to presume to defend.
Please do.
But he's talking about Genjo Koan, which is actualization of whatever the translation is, the moment.
The moment. Actualization of the moment.
He does carry through.
Yes. The koan itself, but the line.
Yeah. Well,
where does the line takes us into a great depth. But if we take it apart, we're still looking at the key lack, which is, I believe, what all spiritual traditions in this next push, the little sanghas, the little groups that are opening up all around the world, I believe wholeheartedly that what they're about is taking what the traditions say, taking the view of the mountain itself into town, embodying the infinite consciously. That's mastery. Yeah. Get it?
Articulate what I'm I always get these images when you talk. So this one is that there's light, let's say, sunlight,
mm-hmm.
and that these things is clouds and weather and stuff that mm-hmm. block the sun.
Right.
And our awareness, When we have the momentary awareness of the sun,
mm-hmm.
awareness,
mm-hmm.
then it's our practice is to bring the sun into the clouds or the weather or whatever, which is the things of daily life.
bring the sun into what's...
Channel it, kind of.
Well, sure, sure, sure. But bring that sunshine that is there when the clouds are not,
always.
Even when the clouds are there,
right.
Recognizing fully that the sun is still shining with its fullness, right?
Okay.
Awakening, surrender, release is always shining with its fullness. Your radiance as a human being, your practice as a human being is shining brightly. All practice ever does is clear that light, dust off the lampshade again, you know, and again. Oh, and again, and again. So that the light becomes the orientation instead of the dark. It's a day. Or is it a rainy day? Or is it an ugly day that I'm having a horrible day? It's a day. Can you release the I? Can you release the horrible? And can you be the am? Can you just be? Because if you can just be, you are the awakening.